It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff and Dan.
Having a great interview with Dan Gilbert. I'm here with my co-host Dan Gliske and the other half of the Sloan Brothers. Rich Sloan is with us as well. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing fantastic.
God, I like what Rich had to say, our own Dan. We got our own Dan here.
That's right. Dan Gilbert.
Those
amazing.
Are big shoes, Dan. Those are big shoes to fill.
How's the weather in Vegas, by the way, Rich?
Well, I would say frosty, actually. So we've got nothing on you folks in Michigan. It's an unusual situation. I'll tell you, though, I'm getting heated up just talking about entrepreneurship and Dan Gilbert. I'm so glad that we had him to kick off the next era of Startup Nation Radio.
Can you believe that? I mean, I remember, Rich, I remember you and I interviewing Dan Gilbert, I don't know, 2002, as we said in the opening, 2004, 2005, and 2006, and so on. He was on a lot of Startup Nation Radio shows in the past. Yeah, I remember him saying,
he was only worth $100 million at that time.
Exactly.
I think you might be able to claim some of his success.
Right, right. Unbelievable. No, but in all seriousness, what an unbelievable story to be here,
he's so generous with his time.
And this guy's young. I mean, he's still got a lot of productivity to go.
No, he's very generous, and he wants the same thing. He wants to help entrepreneurs. And it's interesting. When you do have a level of success, you want to bring it and pull it forward. You want to help other entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? And I know Dan would feel this way. It's one thing about his own personal success. And I found it interesting in the interview, if you listen closely, when you asked or I asked a question, he would answer we. You know,
right.
He would always answer we. He's giving credit to the other people who built that great company, Quicken Loans. They're just, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of room for growth there. An amazing team, an amazing company.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an amazing, amazing American success story, both Dan himself personally and Quicken Loans as well. Great stuff. All right, we're going to go back to the Dan Gilbert interview. But as we said before the break, we've got a caller from New York named Alex, who up on the screen, all it says is, I disagree with Dan. Well, I got to hear what Alex has to say. Alex, welcome to Startup Nation Radio. You've called in, and you've disagreed with Dan Gilbert. Let's hear it.
First of all, thanks for taking my call. I absolutely agree that spreadsheets don't inherently create value, but a business's data is the single most important asset an entrepreneur has. So my question is, in the absence of empirical data, especially in this digital age, how do you truly measure a business's success? I'm sure as an investor, Mr. Gilbert, you're looking at the underlying data in a business and not just, you know, throwing money at various startups.
Well, first of all, actually, it's a very interesting comment you've just made, and it's something that many of us are probably wondering. So if you're not measuring empirical data, how do you measure the success of a business? Rich, Dan, I've got a comment, but that's a great question, by the way, Alex. Thanks for being on.
Well, Alex, I think you're right, number one. I think you're right that data is very important, but I think Dan's point was data is not everything. And what you really want to do is you don't want to focus on the perfect business plan or the perfect anything.
Business is messy, right?
It's business.
I mean,
business
Dan said
messy.
It.
You really want to focus on your clients. You want to focus on the opportunity. You want to focus on solving business problems, because that's where you're really going to get the market data that you need to drive your company forward.
Rich, you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, first I want to say, Alex, I love that you had the courage to call in.
Well, we teed him up a bit. You notice, hey, Rich, you notice when he came into the call, he toned it down a little bit. He started out by saying, well, first I want to say I agree with...
He's a pussycat. Well, what's up with that? Let me do this. Let me say, you know what, Alex, I think it was great you had the courage to call in and challenge Dan Gilbert, but I'm going to challenge him in a different way. I'd say that if you had challenged Dan by saying, instead of the importance of that spreadsheet is to measure your business, I think it's to anticipate significant events that are on the horizon. In other words, it's a predictive tool. It'll help you know what to be ready for, whether you're going to need cash at a certain point or whether you're going to have built value in your business at a certain point that gives you more leverage and opportunities. That's the power of a spreadsheet, and it's no replacement for being creative and reaching out and meeting new people and thinking out of the box and all that stuff. But pairing that with the ability to see forward, you are in a powerful position.
Well, I think that's right, and I think Dan made that point. Certainly, data is important. In no way did he mean to say that, you know, spreadsheets are meaningless. But, well, here's my take on it. You know, I think that as an entrepreneur myself, Dan, you, Rich, you as well, and you know, for those of you listening who are as well, we all know that there's a certain kind of intuitive feel that an entrepreneur has too, that you can't deny. The entrepreneur knows where they are. They know where they want to go. They know how they're performing. And the other thing is, you know, businesses aren't always, success in business isn't always measured by what the data tells you, what the numbers tell you, what sales tell you. In the early stages of a business, for example, like in the case of maybe a biotech startup, there are no revenues.
Right.
There is no spreadsheet. You know, you certainly want to watch your costs. You want to watch that side of the ledger. But the reality is, are you tracking other key milestones? You know, am I getting that FDA approval that I need to get in the timely fashion in which I
right.
need to get it? Am I bringing on the right team members? Do I have the right feel? Is there the, you know, is there that, that kind of energy that we can all feel that really kind of indicates success or failure?
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, the key thing is solving problems and solving market problems, solving all the other business problems that you have, not focusing entirely on data.
All right, right on. Okay, let's go right back to the interview. We've got another small piece to play for you, and then we'll do a big wrap up here on Startup Nation Radio, the first show back of Startup Nation Radio. Okay, let's roll the interview.
And here we are in the, you know, in the heartland of America. Some would say even to a degree the home of entrepreneurship with the auto companies and everything else right here in Detroit, Michigan. You know, hardworking people. You have made an incredible commitment to the city of Detroit. And while Startup Nation is going to be broadcast to the nation and to the world, you know, there's no question that part of the Dan Gilbert story is your commitment to the city of Detroit and to the state of Michigan in a way that maybe we've never seen before from one individual in any area. What's driving you? Just what's the overriding vision there, the overarching vision, and are you on track?
Well, I think, Jeff, there's two reasons, two main reasons why we came to Detroit and took on Detroit as our mission. I mean, number one is, in my case and a lot of my partners and a lot of our key people here and even our folks that work hard every day here, you know, it's generational. A lot of us are from Detroit. And personally, I was born in the city, lived here. My father was born in Detroit. My grandfather was born in Detroit. So it's generational and it's sort of this pride thing. And Detroit's been beaten up for so many decades. You find yourself in a position where you can make a difference. You feel like you want to go for it. So that's number one. But number two is there's a massive business reason why we came downtown, and that is, you know, the talent, the most talented people, entrepreneurs who you want to fund, or technology, or people coming out of Michigan, Michigan State, Wayne State, and other universities in the state. I mean, they want to be in urban cores. This generation, the millennial generation, you know, wants to be in downtown urban cores. They don't want to walk across 200 yards of asphalt to a single office building and then walk to their car and go home at night. They want the energy of an urban core. And so for the first time ever, about 4 or 5 years ago before we moved down here, you know, we were noticing people that we were interviewing, best and brightest again, saying, I'd love to come to your company, but, you know, frankly, I want to move into an urban core, urban city. I want to be in that action. And we were losing great people that we thought, you know, in past years would come to our business. So it seemed to become stronger and stronger among young people that they want to be in urban cores. And you all know, if you're from Michigan, for so many years, people will graduate all the universities, say, I'm going to go to New York, Chicago, this, that. Detroit wasn't on the radar. So we said, look, we only know one urban core that's close by. It's our hometown. Let's get downtown and try to make that an exciting endeavor. And ironically, what happened that we didn't know was going to happen is that now when you sort of offer Detroit versus New York, Chicago, not only can you get a job in a thriving, exciting urban core where there's entrepreneurs and technology and all that, but you actually have an advantage against these cities because the millennial generation, it sells to them that they can impact the outcome and make a difference and see it in Detroit, where that would be tough to do in a city that's so evolved like a New York or Chicago. I mean, actually, part of the attraction is that they can come in and be at the ground floor and make it happen. So it's turned out all right, and we have almost 12,000 full-time people down here. Every day is exciting around here, and I'll tell you what, if you're in this area, even if you're not, this is going to be one of the most exciting urban cores in all of America, if it's not already.
Well, and I know this. I've known you since 1995, and I know when you make a statement like that, as bold as it may be, and I think people are beginning to catch on now, when you make a statement like that, it tends to happen.
Well, there you go. Dan, none other.
It's fantastic.
Than Dan Gilbert himself. Now, I'm going to listen to that over a couple more times, actually. I think, you know, there's nuggets in them there hills, you know, to be picked up for sure from Dan Gilbert.
Gift that keeps on giving.
Great, great, great show, guys. Hey, Rich Sloan, thanks so much for being on the show with us.
Great kickoff to
you're
going to
be a
radio, Jeff.
You're going to be a regular contributor.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks to Walsh College for the sponsorship. Hey, listen, we got a whole team of people that make this show happen and make Startup Nation go. Thanks to Brian Cleveland for all your great work on the web.
All of our friends at Woodward One Media, Ray Templin, Weston Silver, Matt LeDuc.
Tom Shapiro, the online marketing guru. Thane Richard, the producer. Karen Torres in our office. Stephanie Jacobson, who helped get the word out for us yesterday.
Rick Burkhart and Kevin Matheny.
Love it. Love it, guys. Hey, and special thanks to Dan Gilbert for sharing his wisdom. We really appreciate him taking time out. Thanks to everyone at Quicken Loans who helped make it happen. And thanks to our sponsor again, Walsh College Today. Join us next week. Hey, Josh Linkner is going to be on the show. We're going to go from great to great. All right. See you next week right here on Startup Nation Radio.